One thing that not enough people are talking about is that Elon Musk saying Donald Trump is in the Epstein files means that Elon Musk, as a government employee, probably saw parts of the Epstein files that are currently confidential and or classified, which means he may have just violated the law by putting that tweet up, because you're not allowed to share government documents and government information.
Hey, everybody, I'm Tim Miller.
I'm Cameron Caskey, and this is FY Pod, Bulwark's show for hardcore politics, teen gossip, and sometimes maybe a little friendship along the way. Today, we are joined by Aaron Parnas, the king of making selfie videos. How you doing, my man?
Good. That was very intense.
This is going to be a very intense episode. We've got everything from the first messy gay breakup of Pride Month featuring Donald Trump and Elon Musk, as well as some other shit that Tim told me about before we got started. But obviously, that's the one I'm thinking about the most. But Aaron, I think we want to hear a little bit about you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got something of an origin story.
A little bit. My origin story is a little different. It's not necessarily your average kind of coming of age story in this kind of industry. My backstory way back, I started college when I was 14. And then I graduated college when I was 18.
Oh, no. That's a red flag for me.
Well, listen.
Okay.
It is what it is.
We learned about this about, do you know Curtis Yarvin? I've already derailing the podcast. This is when you get Gen Z white bros together, we just like to talk about, you know, we got to talk about tech, you know, how much we love the tech bros, you know, we like to bro out. But Curtis Yarvin went to college at 12, and I think that's why he became a fascist. That's kind of one of my things. So did you have that experience at all? Any fascism?
It actually went the complete opposite.
Okay. All right, let's hear more. I apologize for interrupting.
So started when I was 14, then went to law school when I was 18. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I was 17, 18 years old that my family had gotten into politics, because my dad kind of grew up with Donald Trump's dad, grew up in that kind of circle. And
Lev and Fred?
Lev and Fred.
Hanging, chilling?
I think from what I understand, and I don't know the full details, but my dad's first job was for Fred. Really? One of his first jobs.
Have you ever been to the Trump family home in Queens?
No, I have not.
Lev?
No.
Oh, okay. No. So they weren't that close. Like, you didn't invite him over to dinner.
Lev is his dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, duh. Lev
what the fuck do you mean, duh?
Did you Google him before the show started?
I
met Aaron at the Annoying Content Creator Conference, and we really got along. We got some mutual friends, and I was like, this guy is good people. I watched some of his selfie vids for the Meadus Touch guys.
I thought all Gen Zs Googled people immediately after meeting them and learned everything about them.
I didn't Google you until we were like 12 weeks into the podcast.
I know. It's very strange. Anyway, his dad is Lev Parnas.
Yeah.
Who was kind of a big deal when you were like 12, because he was involved in the effort to, I don't know, get the Hunter Biden laptop from Ukraine or something?
Something like that. I mean, they were involved in a whole host of kind of...
Really? Okay, so we'll take it back. So to help out Cameron, since he hasn't Googled him, your father's Lev.
Yes.
Him and Fred were pals. And so that's how he got mobbed, or he worked for Fred.
He worked for Fred, and then I guess he met Donald a couple times. We grew up in South Florida, so you run similar circles. In Boca?
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. That's where my temple was.
I was 15 minutes away from where you went to high school.
Did you go to B'nai Israel?
No, I went to Chabad.
Okay, well, B'nai Israel is really
cool. Okay, this isn't, we don't need, it's not Jewish Pride Month, okay? It's Gay Pride.
Not Let's yet.
Focus. Jewish every, was last
every,
month.
every month is Jewish Pride Month
Correct.
For me.
Okay, we don't need to learn about Shabbat. So you're a kid in South, did you ever go to Mar-a-Lago?
I have actually never been to Mar-a-Lago, no.
Okay, all right. But so Donald's around, your dad and him are hanging out, maybe.
I guess a couple times, time to time. And then,
he gets mobbed up with Rudy.
Well, that didn't actually happen until, I think, Trump took office, not until 2017.
All right. I'm sorry, you tell your own story.
Yeah, so it was back in 2015 when Trump first announced he had a rally in Doral in the Trump golf club over there, and we went, and my dad was able to somehow get this like backstage pass or whatever, and we got to meet Trump with like about, I don't know, 50 other people there. And then
did you get a pic?
Yeah, we got a pic.
Is that out there on the internet? Can I Google that right?
I'm pretty sure you can find it if you wanted to.
You keep talking.
So about a year went by, nothing really happened. My dad just kind of like started getting closer and closer to kind of like the Trump one circle in terms of like the campaign. Mm-hmm. I think he hosted a fundraiser for them or something. And then it wasn't until he went to the election night party. But then it wasn't until I think 2017 or 2018 where my dad somehow met Rudy at, I believe it was a Red Sox Yankees game. And they kind of just hit it off and then became pals.
Was this before or after the picture of the hair dye dripping down his face?
Before.
Definitely before.
Okay, got
it. Like, this is, like, they're just sitting next to each other?
I think they were in a, so that's.
Is this it?
No, that's 2019.
Okay, so you met him twice?
Met him a few times.
Okay, all right, keep going.
But no, so they met just at, I think it was in the box of some Yankees game. I don't know how they met other than that. But so they met, they hit it off. Rudy kind of became part of our family. My dad spoke to him more than he spoke to me. And it was a bit of a weird relationship.
I feel like you kind of yada, yada, yada over something. Like, they're at a baseball game with Rudy, and then he became part of the family.
That, I mean, that's really it. Like, they just hit it off, and they got each other's numbers, and
They both like whiskey, Italian food.
My dad doesn't drink, so it has nothing to do with the whiskey.
Rudy drinks.
Rudy does drink.
A lot. Scotch, I think.
Yes.
And so was it, like, gangster movies? Like, they're both into, like...
I don't know.
Goodfellas?
They both grew up in New York. They had this like New York mentality, kind of New York brotherhood type vibe going on. I don't know. But ultimately, like,
so Rudy's been to the house.
Rudy has been to the house, yes. I mean, he's my little brother's godfather. He picked up my little brother at his bris. So,
really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, they got very close very fast.
And like, do you hang out with the Giulianis? Like, you and Caroline hang out or anything?
No, I had never met anyone other than Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy seems like, by this point in Rudy's life, he might have been looking for a new family. He was like an orphan. He's like a grown-up orphan walking around, and your dad just took him in. That's my guess.
Maybe.
Like a stray dog kind of situation.
My Uncle Rudy.
Maybe. I mean, listen.
Lady and the Tramp. It's like he was kind of Tramp, and you guys just like took him into the home, it seems like.
Could be. I don't know. So they hit it off. They started becoming closer and closer, and then... Next thing I knew, they were traveling literally across the globe in search for dirt on Hunter Biden. That became like the big thing that my dad and Rudy were working on.
In retrospect, it feels kind of like they probably didn't need to fly to Ukraine to find dirt on Hunter Biden. Like, Hunter had an illegitimate child. He's like doing meth, smearing poop on pictures and selling it to people.
I was going to say, like, selling really expensive paintings. I feel like selling expensive paintings is a pretty good, way to know that somebody's doing some sort of fraud. Was Hunter ever doing crypto?
I don't know anything about Hunter.
Yeah. Okay. So they're traveling to Ukraine. Did you ever go to Ukraine?
No.
Okay. So they're traveling to Ukraine, just like fucking Keystone Cops running around Kyiv.
Yep.
Asking people if they've met Hunter Biden.
I mean,
going to brothels.
That's
like, do you or anyone you know have any of you met Hunter Biden?
It was really odd. I mean, I personally like wanted to not be a part of it as much as I can. So I literally didn't ask any questions, try to stay out of it as much as I can because I just wanted my dad and I didn't have
a
dad.
So we had Mooch Jr. on last week. This was unintentional for him to be back to back. But so like, you know, he got kind of into the Trump thing for a minute. Like, he was doing stop motion videos for the campaign, apparently. Did you have a moment of liking Trump, like, from day, like, back in the, like, OG?
I guess back in 2015, I had a moment where it was kind of like, oh, this is someone new, this is someone different. Yeah. I knew nothing about politics and was never really involved. So I was like, this guy's kind of just talking and telling it like it is. And when you grow up in a household where Fox News is playing on repeat, it's kind of all you know.
Wait, but you already had like 3 graduate degrees by then, right?
Yeah, but I wasn't really in politics. I was trying to be a lawyer. So I was working at my local public defender's office at the time.
Got it.
That's cute.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at pictures of you right now. Okay, so your dad's flying around, getting mobbed up with Rudy.
Hunt for Hunter, baby.
You're a little hunt for Hunter. Carmen Sandiego-ing for Hunter hookers. And you're just like hanging out legally.
I am in law school at the time.
You're like the Doogie Howser of law school.
a little bit.
This is a lot of Gen Z references happening on this on the Gen Z pod.
I can't say Doogie Howser is a Gen Z reference. It's a bit of a boomer reference, but it's okay.
That's Neil Patrick Harris, right?
Yeah.
Happy Pride, everybody.
NPH. Okay. And so then... he comes back, that shit unravels, Trump gets impeached. What are you thinking about during all that time? Your dad's like, did you guys have people outside your house were like,
yeah, I mean, I had reporters kind of sliding notes under my door, trying to take pictures of me on the way to my law school. They were obviously outside of my dad's house, but I was living in DC. He was in Florida at the time, so it was very separate. But when Trump got impeached, my dad was under indictment at that point. So it was a very different kind of father-son relationship and family dynamic.
Different moment.
Yeah.
Well, the good news was you were about to be a lawyer. So he was going to be in need of some legal counsel.
The one thing I don't do is work for my family.
Okay. And so then his flip happened. We're just going to be candid here.
Yeah.
This is real talk in the pod. I was kind of skeptical of your dad's flip.
Sure.
You know, I was kind of like...
Oh, wait. He's Scaramucci'd?
Oh, yeah.
My man.
Hardcore.
Good shit, dude.
Hard mooch flip. And on that one, I was kind of like, I don't know. This guy, he's flying around Ukraine.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening here. It feels a little fake.
Well, I will say, a little scammy. I think the moment my dad flipped, I remember it because my dad actually called me from inside the Alexandria Detention Center. He was behind bars for about 2 weeks, waiting like bail and bond and whatever. And he said, "Aaron, I got a note card or like a postcard slipped under my jail cell, and it was from Rudy. And it said, oh, something to the effect of like, Paul Manafort, you have a good lawyer." At the time, my dad's lawyer was the person who repped Paul Manafort. And they were like, oh, Paul only got 5 or 7 years. Like, you'll be fine, essentially, something like that. And my dad still has that postcard to this day, and it's signed by Rudy. It's from the White House. It's like this whole, it's like straight out of a movie. And in that moment, he was like, I'm done.
On like White House stationery?
I think so. It has like a White House symbol at the top. It was very odd.
Don't worry, bro. If you just take one for the team here, it'll only be a short 5 to 7 with good behavior. You know, we'll have you out in 4.5.
It was
with
very
an
odd.
Ankle bracelet. Huh. And then how long did he end up having to be there?
He was sentenced to 20 months. He only ended up serving about 3 months behind bars because of COVID and stuff like that. So that he got early release, but he was on house arrest.
Did you make any jail friends?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Come back.
No, I did not ask him that.
Did he come back jacked with a bunch of tattoos?
No, he did not. He's only been in there. He was only in there for 2.5, 3 months. So
we should have had Lev on at the same time. Wow. Okay. And so then, when during this process were you like, all right, I don't want to be a Supreme Court justice anymore. I want to be a TikTok creator.
That wasn't until last year.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, so I didn't start TikToking until 2022, way after my dad was already indicted, going to trial, all that jazz. And it wasn't until Russia invaded Ukraine. We still had family in Ukraine. So I would be hearing from them on the ground what they would be seeing outside of their window. And then I would just kind of report on it on TikTok and blew up to 1 million followers in a week. Did that for 6 months, got completely banned on TikTok after being mass reported.
The Chinese?
The Russians. And then went and clerked for
eight. Can you trust the Russians?
No. I mean, Trump does.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he's stupid.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so then you got off and clerked?
Then I got off, clerked for a federal judge, and then restarted middle, end of 2023, I guess, or early 2024. And then now I'm doing it full time.
You see, you can't say shit like this, because now Tim and Bulwark are going to expect me to be pulling those numbers while I'm doing my fucking content creation. Dude, I'm swimming in your wake. I'm doing the selfie videos over the tweets where I'm providing commentary. The difference is you went to law school, and I dropped out of Columbia after a semester and a half and went and worked for a Hollywood producer for 2 years. But I don't know. I think I'm kind of slaying, not to toot
my own. You're doing great.
Thanks so much, dog. So Lev Parnas, I'm going to have to give him a Google. He is the man who single-handedly defeated the Biden regime, although Joe ended up doing the pardon, #FreeHunter. And
well, my dad did apologize to Hunter on national television, on MSNBC.
I don't know if he needed to do that.
#SorryHunter.
He should, you know, for our democracy, maybe he should apologize, but like Hunter probably deserved it.
So we've
listen,
got...
my take on it all is that I actually don't think Hunter deserved it. But
really?
I don't. I mean, I think that he was put in a very shitty situation. Like, did he do good things in life? No. But ultimately,
I mean, he was totally scamming.
But he's the president's son. He's not the president.
Yeah, I know, but he had no reason to be on the board of Burisma. Like, he had no experience. He has a child that he's not parenting.
Is Burisma not like the name of a Jewish holiday?
No, Burisma is the name of the company he was on the board of that I guess Lev was going through the trash cans outside their headquarters in Kiev. In Kiev. I think he kind of deserved it.
Wait, do you guys remember in the 2020 campaign that time where they got like leaked texts from Joe to Hunter, and they were using them to attack Joe, and the texts were like, "Hello, my dear son. I love you and I miss you. Your beautiful granddaughters are doing great, and we all can't wait to see you." And everyone was like attacking Biden for being like a good dad. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do remember
that. I think I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, some of those leaks were bad. I haven't found this picture of you and Trump yet, but I do have this picture, we'll put it up on the screen here, of you and Joe Biden in the White House. Is Joe Biden, you can look at it right here.
Yeah, that was back in December.
Is Joe Biden alive in that photo?
He is. He was sharp.
Was he sharp?
He was sharp.
Okay, he looked good?
He looked good, yeah.
Yeah, do you guys have a little repartee?
Did he threaten
to attack?
It wasn't a long conversation.
Did he threaten to attack Jake Tapper?
No.
Did you guys address the elephant in the room? Were you like, hey, by the way, my dad was one of the
We did not have time to talk about all that. It was only about a 2-minute meeting.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Hmm. Oh, so he didn't Google you either? It's another thing, just another thing Cameron Listen, and Joe Biden have in common?
Sleepy Cam, baby. I'm very sleepy right now. I had a very early train.
Okay. Well, I want to get into the divorce here. Is there anything else? Any other origin story elements we missed?
No. I mean, I think that's it.
I was going to wait till the end to do this, but I'll do this because we want to keep people engaged and watching before we get to the good stuff, which is the first gay divorce of Pride. The audience, what kind of audience are you getting there on TikTok, do you think? Because my mother-in-law,
in terms of like demographics?
Yeah, Ann Jameson, yeah. She's a big fan of yours. We love Ann. Honor her. She's a retired
shout out
teacher.
To Ann.
Yeah, shout out to her. Watches you all the time. Asks me what I think about you. Said I never met him before. She'll be very excited that we've got to meet right now. But, you know.
So half of my audience.
She's a liberal teacher in rural West Virginia. And so it's not like, are you here?
Kudos to her.
Is that your audience?
Like, no, I mean, half my audience is under the age of 40.
Really?
Most of them are young people between the ages of 25 and 34.
Okay. So they're kind of like dorky guys or like women? What kind of?
I mean, it breaks 60-40 women to men.
Who's saying hi to you on the street? Don't get your nerd stuff out with your stats.
All of the above.
You're walking down the mall.
I have Republicans following me who message me all the time saying, listen, I don't necessarily agree with what you put out, but I respect it.
Okay.
I have centrists following me. The far left doesn't really like me, so don't really follow.
What'd you do to them?
I didn't do anything to them. For some reason, they just don't really like me, but that's... Time.
Are you for a one-state solution in Israel? Is that why they don't like you?
I am not for a one-state solution. Okay. I am for a two-state solution.
Is it far-left anti-Semitism, you think, that's going
to be? I think a part of it is,
a little bit of that?
I kind of feel irrelevant because I spend so much time with the far-left. I hang out with the far-left people on Twitter, the crazy people who freak out about you.
Yeah.
And I don't get any anti-Semitism from them. And I'm like, I feel like they don't even know that I'm Jewish, and therefore... Do I matter?
Start wearing a kippah.
Yeah, that might be it. I mean, when I posted about the Colorado Boulder attack and said how horrible it was, I got comments saying you should be next. So,
oh my God.
That's not great.
And it wasn't necessarily only from the right.
Here's the thing, and we have that, there's just something, we'll get into this maybe with the anxiety on the far left crowd, because, you know, a lot of them, their hearts are in the right place, but it's just, they're very annoying. And, like, I had on the pod this week Rahm Emanuel and Matt Iglesias back-to-back. Not any...
The far left.
Yeah, these aren't people that, like, obviously, if you're a socialist, if you're, like, really loving Zohran, you probably don't like Matt Iglesias and Rahm that much. And I get, that's cool, you know? But I have them on, and, like, our listeners that don't like them, it's like complaining, Tim, why are you having these people? They're so annoying. And I'm like, guys, just, like, let Matt Iglesias cook, man. He just wants Democrats to win. All right, get off his back. When I had Medi on or something, us normie centrists, there aren't people being like, why are you going after him? Like we have real lives.
We have
you know?
A Big Ten
like,
party.
Normal centrists are just kind of hanging out, like going, drinking some wine, and they're not like commenting.
I love Medi, man. I went to a debate that was Israel-Palestine at the New York Society for Ethical Culture. Sounds like some shit that, you know.
Okay. That sounds like lib shit.
Sounds like lib shit. It was him versus this guy, Elon Levy, who was making some pretty batshit arguments. And he kept on asking Mehdi to denounce Hamas. He was like, do you denounce Hamas? And Mehdi kept going, yeah, I was actually denouncing Hamas like 10 years ago. Like, you can look it up. So then at the after party, which was really tense because that debate series was normally like people debating about how much money should go to the library or various issues. This was Israel-Palestine, and the after party was both of the people who were debating. So it was this room filled with these Zionists who supported Elon Levy and these pro-Palestine people who were there with Mehdi. And I bump into Mehdi and he says one thing to me, which is, oh, I didn't think you were that tall. And I'm not even tall. I'm 5'10". Like, that's very
You're
average.
A little taller than you give off.
Thank you.
Online.
Yeah, but I was just
Did you ask
say,
him if he condemned Hamas?
Well, no. So there was a plate of, like, hors d'oeuvres. Yeah. And there was hummus on it. And I was like, Mehdi, I need you to announce that for me.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just think our people are a little more chill. It's good, though, that you're... Our people, I speak for myself. I know that you're a far-left radical that wants to overturn capitalism, Cam. The fact that you're just succeeding, that's good, because that's not conventional wisdom, right? Like, conventional wisdom is to do well with the youngs these days. You got to either be in Charlie Kirk, a fascist, or you've got to be like Cam's boy, Hasanabi, you know, talking what up, you know, go far leftist stuff over. And, like, there's... there's kind of a view that you can't succeed as a content creator just like being doing normal lib shit.
There's a third way, a third,
so to speak.
and that's just giving them facts.
And it's working for you?
Yeah, they just want to know the truth. Right. They just want
to
know facts.
There's a third way. That's also what I say when I'm explaining to Tim that bisexuality is real. Happy fucking Pride, everybody.
I'm still pretty skeptical.
Speaking of Pride, hey, everybody. On this episode of the FY Pod, we want to celebrate Pride by talking about the first gay, messy breakup of Pride season. Homosexual icons, Donald Trump and Elon Musk. I don't know if you all saw this, but Elon Musk did accuse Trump of being in the Epstein files. And all I can say is that while I feel like all of us were surprised at that, the more we think about it and look back, the more we're like, no element of this is surprising.
But it shouldn't have been surprising. We knew he was in the Epstein files. He was on the call logs.
Well, it was just like...
Or the flight logs.
There's been this weird thing with the Epstein stuff for me, and I'm sure many other people feel the same way, where it's like, culturally, we really let the Epstein shit slide. Like, we did, in fact, find out that there was a giant pedophile Gilligan's Island happening, and probably some of the most elite politicians in the country and the world were there. And I feel like more people got pissed that Rachel Zegler played Snow White than they did about Pedophile Island. And, yeah. And then Epstein didn't kill himself became such a meme that that became the Epstein thing. And we were like, wait, there's information showing us who was there. And we all kind of ignored it. But I feel like everyone kind of knew Trump was on it. Everybody knew Trump Elon was going to happen. And everyone knew it was going to be messy. So a day later, when I look back at the Epstein thing, I'm like, no, that wasn't really a surprise.
I've been on this for a fucking minute. And I think it's a huge mistake of the left that they allowed the Epstein didn't kill himself conspiracy to be coded as like a right-wing view. When it's like, Trump was president when Epstein died in jail. Mm-hmm. Trump was at his press conference talking about how much he loves Ghislaine Maxwell, or however you say that name, Ghislaine Maxwell, and like how he wishes her the best. Like, there's pictures of Trump and X, they're hanging out. Like, I was like, how did this conspiracy that like they were trying to cover up what happened turn out to be like right-wingers saying that Hillary and the deep state were doing it? It's like, if there was a culprit here, if someone's covering up what Epstein knew, it seems like Donald Trump is the prime candidate.
Who was the Trump administration nutbag recently? Was it Bongino who was like, we have video that proves that Epstein was alone and killing himself, right?
Yeah, it was Bongino, which makes you think he's in on it now.
But why arrest him then? Because Trump's DOJ arrested him.
Hmm. That's an interesting counterpoint.
Yeah. This is what happens when we have a lawyer come in.
Well, maybe the Trump DOJ in term one was just like doing shit without intervention from the White House. And then once Trump realized that they had the man in jail, he was like, I got to off him. I mean, I got to take care. I got to snuff this guy out.
That might be it. I don't know that Pam Bondi would have done it.
Bill Barr was in then.
Was it Bill Barr or was it Jeff Sessions?
It was Bill Barr as AG when he died. And there are some connections. Bill Barr's dad, I guess, hired Jeff Epstein to be a teacher. A teacher at a school. Oh. So, I don't know, maybe some shit was going on back then.
My question is, like, which prominent person in the Democratic world is on the list? Because there's no way it's, like, just a MAGA thing.
Yeah, Bill Clinton.
I know, but I didn't want to say that to the Bulwark audience who might still have fond memories of the saxophone days. But, yeah, it's like, I saw somebody... Ken Klippenstein had a really funny tweet that was like, I hope you're all having fun with this on Twitter because soon enough Hillary's going to tweet about it and it's not going to be funny anymore. And I was like, I don't think Hillary's going to tweet about it. I don't think Hillary will have comment on this because, there's, you know, if the list comes out, there might be some news.
I think Hillary might tweet about it in a different way, though, because, I mean, the Epstein thing was obviously the part of the breakup that was, you know, the most messy.
Most messy part so far.
Yeah, well, the most messy part, the most brunch part, you know, the topic that you might want to most talk about at a gay brunch if your two friends broke up because one of them was doing too much ketamine and the other one was being too cunty and spending too much of the family resources. Like, it's a pretty common story. I don't know how many gay brunches you've been to. And just as a quick aside, it's pretty shocking to me that the most prominent figure to be known for doing ketamine and meth at the same time ended up being a heterosexual. I think the odds of that are very, very unlikely. Hillary hasn't tweeted about this, though. But I do think that Hillary might want to weigh in on the part that Elon thinks that Donald Trump should be impeached and removed. I mean, Elon has gone full, like, have you even called for that?
No.
He's gone full, I have not. Like, past the Never Trumpers. He speed runs past everybody. He's like, I think that we should remove Donald Trump for the presidency.
Well, if Trump is on the Epstein documents more than we know, then maybe we should open up impeachment proceedings in some way. But is that a high crime and misdemeanor that he committed while in office? No, he didn't do that while in office. He did that.
What about the crypto stuff? We can impeach him over that.
For what?
The fact that he's taking bribes? Is it not a high crime and misdemeanor for the president to take bribes in the White House?
Good luck impeaching him in this House. Or in that Senate.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, it's not going to actually work, but it might be funny to introduce the Elon Musk articles of impeachment.
That would be hilarious. But for the record, every time a president's impeached, their approval ratings skyrocket.
You don't want to do that.
I'd rather beat him in the midterms.
I have a question for law expert Aaron Parnas right now, which is, do you think there's any chance, because this is my kind of tinfoil theory as to what might happen. This is my... this is just the back of my head talking, but I feel like in Trump 2, anything's possible. Do you feel like Trump is going to be like, you know what? I'm going to release the Epstein files to show you all that I'm not in them, and then just release a list of like his enemies, and, like a completely doctored Epstein files where he just puts like Bill Clinton and like all of the Never Trumpers and everything, and he's like, boom, that's the Epstein files. And then MAGA, you know, once people call it out for being bullshit, MAGA's going to be like, oh, that's fake news.
I mean, nothing stops him from doing that. But one thing that not enough people are talking about is that Elon Musk saying Donald Trump is in the Epstein files means that Elon Musk, as a government employee, probably saw parts of the Epstein files that are currently confidential and or classified, which means he may have just violated the law by putting that tweet up. Because you're not allowed to share government documents and government information.
But how does that relate to Doge's constant access to shit that's classified? Is it a different type of classified?
Well, I don't know what the classification level of the documents are, but presumably they're confidential DOJ documents. You can't just release them if you have information, or you can't just say what's in them, because the DOJ is still investigating Epstein's people connected to Epstein, and so you can't. Theoretically, if Donald Trump is listed in them as bad as Musk says, then he would be a potential criminal defendant. And Musk tweeting that would prejudice Donald Trump's criminal case.
Speaking about illegal things Elon Musk has done, what do you think about the, now Bannon people are pushing to deport him because he was an illegal immigrant once, which I think is true that he was an illegal immigrant once, but I feel like maybe the statute of limitations has expired on that.
I actually don't think the statute of limitations has expired.
Really?
Because in terms of, I think, and I'm not an immigration attorney, so I don't want to be quoted, but...
But you were the Doogie Howser of law school.
When it comes to like immigration removal proceedings, you could have, because they're deporting people who came into this country undocumented 20 plus years ago right now. Mm-hmm. So I actually don't think there's a statute of limitations for deportation proceedings. But with that said, do we really want to be deporting people like Elon who theoretically are directly making our space?
I want to answer that question like a lawyer. I'm going to be very specific. I do not want to be deporting people like Elon.
But Elon.
who committed those immigration, who broke those immigration laws. I might want to deport Elon, though.
Well, so here's my question to you.
Elon.
If you're a Democrat running for Congress and Elon says, I want to help fund your campaign, what do you say?
I think I'm a no on it, and here's why. And I'm interested in both of your guys' take on this. I'm usually big tent man, but there are a lot of theories of the case going around about Elon, you know, like what motivated all this. And, you know, I think some people in anti-Trump world want to say that, like, oh, that was corruption and he wanted money for his companies, or he wanted Kara Swisher's push the idea that he wanted the data for his AI that he can get from government. And I am kind of the view that Elon has his brain was broken by his kid being trans and by being on ketamine and on Twitter 20 hours a day, and that he's been radicalized and that he's gone insane. And I guess, like, if he wants to donate to me, I'm not going to, like, give him his money back, I guess. But I don't want to be associated with Elon because he seems to be an unstable, insane individual. And I think that if you try to find a unifying theory of all of his behavior, I think that is better than any of the other ones.
I feel like the major case study we have is what happened in Wisconsin. And I think we've gotten a lesson that people fucking hate Elon Musk. So if I were a Democrat and I had seen the success, I mean, seen the crowds at the Bernie AOC fight oligarchy rallies, I would say it might be a better idea to remain the fight oligarchy party and not be taking money from Musk. Because another thing that's important to note as all of this shit goes down is that there are still billionaire puppeteers you know, controlling Trump's agenda, right? Peter Thiel is still out there. The big tech
also
guys.
Also, turns out Peter Thiel and Epstein invested in Peter Thiel's thing that came out this week.
Sounds about right. Trump's,
boys, not girls.
Trump's oligarchy puppets are still oligarchy puppeting, right? It wasn't just Elon. Elon was just able to get so much fucking attention by being such a joker black pill freak that everybody was able to understandably, you know, give so much attention to what he was doing. But I can only hope that the Democrats remain the fight oligarchy party and we're able to find a bunch of the oligarchs who are controlling Trump right now and say, by the way, this is still happening. It's just not as easy a target as
Isn't
Elon.
That case undermined by this? That, like, he's not... I just don't think that that anybody's controlling anybody.
I really don't think anyone's controlling Trump. I mean, I really think that he is so emboldened and so just, like... It's not that anyone's controlling him. It's just I don't think he cares about 98% of things that are happening
right.
in the
He's
federal government.
Let them do their shit.
Right. He can. Yeah. They can do whatever they want. And then the 2% of things that he does care about, like his public image with this budget bill, he's going to make a point on it, which is what he's doing.
I feel like there is a puppeteer doing his crypto shit, and that's definitely something he cares about.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think Trump just like got really into shit coins?
I think he's just A, it makes him money, and B, he likes pissing off the left.
I just think maybe we're just like the word puppeteer maybe is wrong, is just not maybe precise, and my view is more like Trump's like, oh fuck, I can make a bunch of money on these shit coins, cool. And then like the guys that are making a bunch of money are like, oh, by the way, you also should deregulate crypto, and can you also take all the people that Biden was investigating who were like Chinese crypto magnates and like stop investigating them? And like your part of the deal is that you get to keep making money, and he's like, cool.
I mean, for all we know, Barron Trump is running his meme coin. Like we don't really know.
Barron, you are. This is the Gen Z show.
Come
you
know, on up.
Come on.
Gen
we should
Z
have
and
Barron
millennials.
On. Or Aiden Ross. Do you know Aiden Ross? He's from South Florida. We can maybe get Aiden and Barron
but
on.
We did do an episode where we talked about Aiden Ross. It doesn't seem like I would want to know Aiden Ross, but Barron. You know, he's 6'8", Slovenian. I want to be around him to tell him to put a fucking basketball in his hands. Like, you're a Nuggets fan. You've seen Jokic at his shit.
Yeah.
Like, Barron Trump should be a basketball player and also denounce his father and run as a leftist.
Instead of video games or crypto, it would have been better to do basketball, probably.
Have you seen all the pictures of him looking, like, super, you know, broody and kind of Bruce Wayne darkness and everything? And those memes that are like, ooh, I just know that there's some NYU Tish girl ruining his entire fucking life right now. Barron, you're invited to FY Pod. We're super nice and affable.
And look what happened to Aaron. He rejected his father's choices, and now they've all come back around. You know, so there could be a happy ending
moment
for you, Barron. Yeah. You never know.
We'll see.
Right?
Scaramucci Jr., Aaron Parnas. It only makes sense that next week we have Mr. Barron Trump on.
It's worth it.
Wait, is that who you had last week?
Anthony Scaramucci Jr. Was our guest. He showed us his anime waifu body pillow. I was familiar with because I sleep over at his place all the time, and that's in the guest room, the anime waifu body pillow. But speaking of all that stuff, Elon's definitely gone black pill. I agree with you, Tim, that the Elon arc, I mean, the thing is, the Elon going crazy arc did play out live over Twitter. It's not like overnight he started becoming a crazy black pill shit poster.
Yeah.
It was... It crescendoed, and it went from him tweeting in 2018, like, hey, everyone, Tesla has the wokest policies possible for gay people, to him calling, you know, anybody who holds another dude's hand a groomer at this point.
Yeah, right.
So I do think it was a blackpillization.
I want to get this into, like, kind of the – is there any potential useful wedge here for Democrats? Like, Democrats struggled with – like, there's a group of younger men who, like, are attracted to, like – the whatever, the techization of Trump. Trump added some new people into the coalition this time for 2020. It was a lot of younger guys who, like, aren't really that ideological, but, like, they're online, and, like, they thought Elon was cool, and, like, they listened to the bro podcast. And, like, do you think Elon turning on him might, like, break through in a way that, like, dorky Hakeem Jeffries can't? you know?
I don't think so. And no. And the reason why is because a lot of those people who voted for Trump because of Elon or because of the techie stuff, like, they don't care what's happening in politics. I bet you half of them don't even know that Elon Musk.
But they know this is happening now. They know about this.
All of my bro friends texted me about this.
You were getting 2 million views on TikTok. Who do you think those people are, man? People are talking about this shit.
I wouldn't be surprised if in 2 months' time, like, they're back and they're fine. So it's like, I don't know.
Well, sure. I just think that, like, the two most famous people in the world, right? Like, maybe LeBron. I think they're more famous than LeBron now. There's two Messi. Like, so when you have a messy fight, cat fight between the two most handsome people in the world, one's calling the other one a pedo. I think that breaks through.
Let's see what happens.
My bro friends who are not tapped into this shit were sending me those memes that were like, this is like Kendrick versus Drake if they were both Drake.
Well, I will say Twitter yesterday became what Twitter should have been and what Twitter used to be. Yeah, and I think it was a nice day to be on the platform.
And watching the right wing cope with it too has been crazy. Like, there is no unified message across the MAGA posters and everything. They're all saying completely different shit, and it's all kind of funny, and obviously if it was less evil it would be funnier. Yeah. But it's been really interesting.
Do you have a favorite piece of content yesterday?
There's a tweet from Jack Posobiec that he put out.
Pizzagate Jack, yeah.
Yeah, that he put out. I forget exactly what it says, but he tried to, like, philosophize of why this is happening and just, like, try to, like, give, like, a very nuanced and, like, deep explanation.
I saw this. It was about how this is how two alpha males
talk. Yeah, something like that. And
I would
saw
be able
that.
To pull this up, but Pizzagate Jack blocked me on Twitter a long time ago.
Ken Klippenstein, I think, has a screenshot of it.
Okay. That was a good one. I liked the two Drakes. And I also liked, my other favorite one was Trump's new policy towards white Afrikaners. And then it was a video of that guy doing the kill the Boers dance.
Saw that.
It's like the white Afrikaners are fucked.
That was very funny.
I saw one. People keep saying about the Elon versus Trump drama, the girls are fighting. You realize that's misogyny, right? And it's not clever. Mocking two egomaniacal billionaires shouldn't come at the expense of women. If your insult relies on misogyny, it's not the burn that you think it is.
This is why we have Trump.
It's just crazy because, like, most of the people I saw saying the girls are fighting were girls.
Yeah, this is why we have Trump, people. Chill out. Everybody chill out. All right, I want to get to this Nate Silver article I sent you guys. Do you have any ICE talk? We have an event. This is why Cameron and I are together. We have a rally at the Supreme Court and an event tonight about... you know, in support of the lawyers that are defending Andre Hernandez Romero and the other Venezuelans that have been disappeared and kidnapped. You were just saying that you did some ICE content. Is there any? Do you have any ICE?
Yeah.
ICE chat?
Yeah. ICE talk? I mean, in Arizona, ICE officials accidentally detained a deputy U.S. marshal who's supposed to be protecting the courthouse because
what'd he do?
Well, he just looked like the guy that they were trying to deport.
Mm, brown.
I assume so.
Mm. That doesn't seem great. This feels like, I hate doing the, like, oh, could this break? But, like, I don't know, man. I feel like this world, you've got Elon shitting on Trump. You've got Joe Rogan being like, I don't think that we should kidnap people off the street. There's maybe something here.
This is breaking through. I mean, I don't know if you saw in Missouri, there's a small town in Missouri. I think it's Kettleton or something like that. It's called something like that. Yeah. And there was a local waitress at, like, the waffle shop.
Yeah, okay.
And she had been there for decades. And this town voted, it's a farm town, voted for Trump 80% of the vote. And they detained her because she was undocumented or something, or something wrong with her visa. And within minutes, that entire town was, like, anti-Trump. They were so upset at the administration, and they were like, we didn't sign up to deport moms or our favorite waffle shop waitress.
As ICE continues these crusades, there's going to be more and more stories of, I mean, you know, all of these things are wrongful and, you know, without serious cause, but there's going to be more stories of people getting detained where it just makes no sense because ICE ain't slick. So I think we're going to be seeing more stories about people turning on Trump.
And there are some kid stories. Again, this stuff gets into communities in a way that some of the other Trump crazy stuff doesn't. You know, like, there's that story, and I wish I'd pulled it up, but I don't have it exactly right, but the kid was 18, he's about to graduate.
Massachusetts, yeah.
Yeah.
He was just released.
Was he released finally? Mm-hmm. Great. But, you know, he's an honor student, he's going to a volleyball tournament, he's from Brazil, he'd been here since he was four, and, like, you know, I shackled him and put him in a fucking cell with 30 other people, and he's there for, what, a couple weeks?
Yeah, a couple weeks.
And it's just like, the other kids, like, people don't like this. You know, I think that, like, there is sometimes a view of, like, oh, Trump won because people are so racist. And, like, there are plenty of racist people out there, don't get me wrong. Like, there's a subsection of Trump voters that, like, bought the bullshit. It's like, oh, we just got to get out these gangsters and criminals and, like, fentanyl dealers. And, like, that's what I'm for. And, like, when the reality of, like, Goebbels, Miller, like sending in the thugs to high schools to take out honor students. I feel like that lands in a way that some of this other stuff doesn't.
I mean, it really galvanizes these communities. I mean, it doesn't matter what political party you were part of. A member of your community was just taken off the streets and is being potentially sent to a third world, like a third country around the world. I mean, I think that we've seen time and time again that it during Trump won, the kids in cages, that really broke through.
Yeah.
And I think that really changed the narrative heading into 2018 and really contributed to the blue wave at the time. I think this is going to be the same thing. People didn't sign up to deport normal everyday people. They signed up to deport gangsters, fentanyl dealers, and I don't think anyone disagrees with that part of it.
All right. Since I'm the old man on the pod, I sent you guys homework. I'm the teacher. And your homework was you had to read an Nate Silver article. Sorry. Sometimes, you know, I got a lot of assignments.
You've sent me two homeworks this week. One of them was watching some right-wing freak's video. It was the Bongino Report.
Yeah.
One of them was watching...
It was the Secretary of Transportation's kid as the new guest host on the Bongino Report.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. And she is... Duffy, Eliza... What's her name? Eliza?
She's stunning. And she is a huge slay. Slay queen. Although I didn't
great
like
commentary,
the content.
Great commentary,
Yeah. Slay queen. It's pride. Fuck you. Yeah. I get to use gay talk. Anyway, I watched the Bongino Report thing. It was like 44 minutes long. And then you sent me a Nate Silver article, and I was like, that is the cruelest thing Tim has done to me this week.
Okay. Well, you would have gotten worse assignments had you stayed in college longer than a semester.
That's true.
Aaron, so what was your main takeaway? I have a specific thing in the article I wanted to talk to you about, but the gist of it was Nate, in his manner, was trying to explain why Dems are struggling with young men. What was your big takeaway?
I mean, the big takeaway I had was that I didn't like the way Nate Silver wrote. Truth be told.
Sorry, Nate.
Nothing against Nate. It's just it sounded like I was reading a manifesto from a consultant and not really just like I had to put it into ChatGPT to understand half of it. And
ChatGPT, please translate Nate Silver into normal.
Into just like normal human speak.
Okay. And what was your takeaway once ChatGPT told you what Nate Silver was trying to say?
Admittedly, that I think that Nate Silver was like just trying to toe the line in the middle of like he didn't really give me much. I don't know.
You didn't have any big takeaways, did you, Cameron?
Well, we saw that the Democratic Party is now spending $20 million to learn how to reach young men, which is
money well spent, Kim.
It's crazy because, like, they should just give it to me and Tim because we're doing a pretty great job.
Hell yeah.
But
I need a new pool.
With this,
you could do selfie content. You could do thought content from my new pool.
What would you buy $20 million?
What would I buy?
Yeah.
Trump coin.
We're going to get you a trainer. We're going to get you a fucking pool. And you're going to start doing selfie videos shirtless from the pool. And think about how much your engagement will spike. That's how you can compete with Aaron.
Done.
All right? You can't compete with him on content, depth of knowledge, legal expertise. Thought videos, though.
Done.
That could happen for you.
Thought brat summer for FYPod is coming. Well, you were talking about this before we started recording, like this report that young men with better mental health.
Okay, I'm going to read it to you and then you can reply. Here's the actual numbers. It's important to just get the numbers here. This is what I found interesting, was that you ask people to self-report their mental health. All right, excellent, very good, fair, poor. All right, for people who said they had poor mental health, half of them said they were liberal and only 20% said they were conservative. Mm. For people who said they had excellent mental health, these are young men, half said they were conservative, and only 20% said they were liberal. And I'm just curious what you think that says about those young men.
I think it says that conservatism encourages compartmentalization. I know a lot of conservative people who seem very blissfully unburdened by this cruel world, and part of that is because their conservative upbringing taught them not to embrace feelings and not to tackle them head on, but it taught them that having feelings is a feminine thing that ought to be rejected.
Sure.
And if something is making you feel lesser than, if something is making you question things like your masculinity or things like the nature of this world, you ought to just shrug that off and focus on, you know, making money and watching videos of Aiden Ross going to the gym or whatever the fuck he does. So
I think he plays video games.
Yeah. I think that the conservative men have better mental health thing is because culturally, young men who are going to be more liberal are going to spend more time actually asking questions about their mental health, and they're going to feel more comfortable exploring these things about their life. And, you know, it's a very difficult time to be a person right now. It's a difficult time to be a young person. So these young liberal men might be really feeling that in a way that conservative men might be feeling it in their innermost emotional truth, but not actually embracing.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, I think most, I would say half of those conservative men polled that said that their mental health was great don't even believe mental health really exists.
Right.
Right? Like, I don't think they've ever, not just never been to therapy, but don't even think that therapy
is... make fun of it.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So I that's kind of how, I mean, I grew up, right? Like, many people around me in, like, that conservative environment, they were like, why would you, like, if you want to go to a therapist, just go to your dad, right? Like, you don't need to go talk to a third-party person.
Probably not your dad, because he wouldn't talk about feelings. Well, maybe your mom.
It's literally your dad.
Okay.
So it's not surprising, but at
I
the
guess
same...
maybe that's why I turned out gay. The idea of talking to my dad about my feelings is very scary. Me and mom did feelings talk.
Happy Pride, everybody. Tim turned out gay because he didn't talk to his dad.
about feelings. too much mothering. Okay. So you think that it's just... that, and I think that that is part of it. I mean, part of what is happening here is that conservative young men don't actually like believe that there's mental health issues, and so they say excellent because bro, I'm hard and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big part of it. I mean, there are other parts to it. I think that I think liberal men are just more inclined to talk about our feelings and what's bothering us. And when you talk about what's bothering you, you sometimes spiral a little bit more and like your mental health does decline the more you kind of open up.
I think you guys are half right. I'm with you on everything you said, but I think there's another element, and that is I'm for therapy. I love therapy. I had a great therapist when I was in Oakland. I'm crushing right now, so I don't need a therapist right this second, but any minute now I could crash out. You never know, and I can be right back in it. And I think that there are a lot of people that have legit mental health problems. Maybe in this podcast, TBD, and I support all of that. I think that there's like a little too much therapy talk in liberal circles, and I think that it is negatively affecting people sometimes. I feel like if you make everything about everybody's trauma, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy a little bit, and I worry, and I don't know. I think that there might be something that's a little bit more to it that's people should that libs should reflect on a little bit.
I mean, maybe it's the thing that libs love to over-normalize things. Like, you can normalize things, but don't over-normalize it. Don't go so far that people are turned off by what you're trying to normalize.
Well, there's this other problem where there's a lot of self-diagnoses happening, which is really annoying to me because I suffer from anxiety and a bunch of other things that are actually kind of debilitating sometimes and really affect my ability to be a person. And then people talk about how they're having a panic attack because they're like a little stressed. And I'm like, I'm having a panic attack and my lips are numb and I can't feel the tips of my fingers and I think that my lungs are caving in. Go fuck yourself. But
this
you know
is what I'm saying.
It's like a lot of people also think that the acknowledgement of what might be a mental health issue for you, to say, oh, I think I suffer from depression and everything. They think that owning it and saying this is what's happening to me absolves them of the responsibility to actually go in and solve it.
Yeah.
You know, I do this all the time for me, by the way. I will recognize a problem that I have and say, this is something I really ought to fix. But then I will excuse myself from fixing it because I think that the recognition of the issue is enough. And people do it all the time. It's a common thing I see across all ages and the entire emotional maturity spectrum. People think that because they know something is wrong about themselves, that awareness means they don't have to actually go in and do something about it.
True. I agree with that. Okay, two really quick rapid fire things. Then we'll do Boomer Mailbag. Then we'll get you out of here. Do you have advice to Dems on young guys? Like what they could do better?
Just be normal. Talk normal.
Be normal like what? Be normal how?
Just like stay on message. Just don't over normalize things. Don't make things taboo to do. And just like not every politician has to say the F word every time. Like,
oh, so you think too much F words are happening?
I think too much F words are happening. I think staffers are like Chuck Schumer shouldn't be tweeting out the Taylor Swift song,
not just
Bad
Chuck.
Blood or whatever.
It's not just Chuck. If you were a fucking congressman watching that, you don't have to be an influencer. Let the people who are good at it do it. Some of the biggest fucking dorks I've ever seen in politics, some of whom are personal friends of mine, so I ain't going to call out any names, are making the cringiest goddamn videos in the world. You don't need to be an influencer. Just because we need to reach people online more effectively doesn't mean it's your fucking job. Know your place.
Do you agree with Cameron?
Retweet.
Okay, Cameron. All right. Leave it to the experts, guys. All right, Aaron and Cam, they got you. All right? We don't need, Sheldon Whitehouse doing TikToks. All right? Leave it to these guys. All right. This wasn't on my list, but I was curious. Since you said you grew up conservative, I get this question all the time. Is there something you've changed your mind on? Is it like you self-identified as a lib a minute ago? So you've obviously changed your self-identification. Like, what was? Is there an issue, or is it just Trump sucks, or is there something in particular that has evolved in you?
It's like lived issues. Like there was an instance a few years back when I didn't have health care and I had a health scare. And in that moment, I was like, well, one party wants to make sure I can afford this. The other party wants to make sure that I go in debt doing this.
Yeah.
So it's like things like that. Like I went to my local elementary school in inner city Miami, and I saw the disparities, what they had versus what I had growing up in my posh public school in Boca Raton.
Yeah.
And it was a completely different thing. So I think lived experience is what changed me.
Should you move home to Florida and run for Congress?
Never.
Why not?
Because I don't like Florida.
Okay, where do you live right now?
In D.C.
Should we move you out to
and run for Congress? Yeah. No. If the right position.
How about
opens
up to
up.
New York? Run against Mike Lawler, that fucking pussy. I'm sorry, we're not cursing anymore. I'm sorry, I thought you said that. We got
no more cursing, everybody.
You could run against Mike Lawler or
that.
Nick LaLotta.
Yeah, no, I'm not a New Yorker.
All right, are we ready? Anything else, Cameron, you have for him before we get to Boomer Mailbag?
Everybody, if you have a server at a restaurant who seems to have a developmental disability somewhere on the autism spectrum, get the card for the restaurant, give the manager a call, and say, hey, by the way, this server was great. I send them my highest compliments. It's very important to them, and it's important that we make sure they get to keep working those jobs.
That's so sweet.
I didn't know where that was going when you started, but I really liked it.
You guys are both so sweet in the end. Okay, here we go. Boomer Mailbag. Da-da-da. All right. It'll be a rapid-fire one. This is our first follow-up from a Boomer Mailbag from a previous episode. Susan, a Boomer. She wanted to let us know that in February she asked us how she should behave at the Kendrick Lamar SZA concert. And we advised her to just be her fucking self, let her freak flag fly. And so she did. And she had a great night. There were not many other boomers in the crowd, but she felt like everyone was very chill. And the only funny look she got was when she put in her foam earplugs. And I want to say to you, Susan, I'm glad you had a great time. And I think you probably weren't even getting funny looks because people wear foam earplugs now because they want to... preserve their hearing. Very normal. You're all good. Anything to add to that, Cam?
Kendrick, creator of the song Not Like Us, with this Trump Musk thing, you have the opportunity to do the funniest shit in the world. And ma'am, I'm glad you had fun at the conference, at the concert, excuse me, listen to me being Mr. Politics, Slay Queen, and it's been a very fun episode. Thank you so much.
All right, we have one more question.
Oh,
no, Laura, a boomer. Actually, she doesn't say if she's a boomer, but it's a boomer mailbag, so we're going to assume. She asked if we saw the New York Times story about young men calling up their friends to say nighty night.
Oh.
The headline of the story was, can a man call another man to say good night? And what the story found was that at first the men freak out, but then it turns out they really like it. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, call your male friend and say goodnight. Who cares?
Do you have a male friend that you would call? Who would you call if you had a male friend to say goodnight to? Who would you pick?
Probably my friend Ethan.
Your friend Ethan?
Yeah.
Is he from Boca?
No, he's actually from D.C.
Okay.
Works on the Hill.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
I think you should do that tonight.
I'll call him and say goodnight.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Cameron, what do you think?
I'm part of an elite squad of alphas called Infinity Gang, featuring Scaramucci Jr., David, Alex, Matt, and Jonah. And we have a rule, which is at the end of the phone call, we say love you. Even if it's a casual phone call and not like we talked about any feelings or anything, any call, love you, goodbye. And you know what? When I hear it, I feel good. I feel loved.
I say love you to my straight bro friends too. I don't really like phone calls. I like in-person connections. So the nighty-night call is probably not great for me.
Just try it.
But maybe I should try it. Maybe you think I'm like...
It'll make you feel a little
better.
I'm
holding something in,
yeah,
do
maybe.
You think? I just got to get out of my shell a little bit. I have some internalized homophobia still.
I wonder how many
I don't know.
Of the
I'm going to be in a belly shirt tonight at the show.
I don't even know what that is.
And a skirt. So I don't know if I have that much homophobia. Okay, anything else? Aaron, why don't you tell people where they can... I know they've probably already found you since you have 80 million TikTok followers, but in case they haven't.
Well, yeah, Aaron Parnas 1 on TikTok and the Parnas Perspective on Substack.
I hear there's a battle happening between Lev and Aaron on the Substack charts.
Is there? I saw
Lev posted.
Oh, did he?
About you and him both on the charts together, and I think it felt competitive.
No competition.
Okay. All right, everybody. This has been FY Pod. We did it in person. Is this our first one in person?
It is. Happy Pride, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.